The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Well, back in 1940, Miss Ida Mae Fuller was the first person to draw from Social Security.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
She had paid in from 1937 to 1939. She'd paid in a whopping $24.75. That was the total amount of contribution she had made to Social Security. Her first check from Social Security in 1940 was $22.54, so she got a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
In fact, she was able to take out over $20,000 until she died. She lived to be age 100. So I would have to say that Social Security really worked out for Ms. Fuller. Not too sure it's going to work out for the rest of us, so we thought we'd bring an expert. We've had him on before. He's written a great book, and you really need to get a copy of this book because Social Security is critically important, probably for most of you out there. And Dr. Kotlikoff has written a book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. We've got with us today Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff. He's a William Fairfield Warren Professor at Boston University, a professor of economics at Boston University, a fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, a fellow of the Econometric Society, a research associate of the National Bureau of Economic Research, and he's president of Economic Security Planning, which is a company that specializes in financial planning software. And I'm wearing down, so I think I just have to stop it.
Yeah.
This could go on a while. But anyway, we're fortunate this morning to have Dr. Kotlikoff with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Great to be with you guys.
Thank you very much. And all right, let's talk about Social Security. First of all, do you think, is it going to last? I mean, you know, that's the question that we get a lot. Now, surprisingly, sometimes I get it from somebody who's 60 years old. But is Social Security going to make it?
Well, not in its current form. The Social Security system right now is, according to its own trustees' report that was issued in July, it's 32% underfinanced. To put this in comparison, the Detroit pensions were about 20% underfunded when they brought that city to bankruptcy. The red ink for Social Security, if you put all the future obligations on the books and all the future taxes on the books as well to pay those obligations, as well as the trust fund, because that's also an asset of the system. If you net everything out, the system's $32.1 trillion in the red is my recollection of the number that's in the trustees' report. It's hidden in that report because the trustees are not exactly trustees. They're political appointees. In this case, they're all appointed by the president one way or another. But in the past, the Republicans have done the same thing. The trustees have been hiding the facts of the system's insolvency. So the system isn't broke. We do not owe the $32 trillion off in the future. We owe it today. It's the present value calculation. So it's like a credit card bill. If you got a bill in the mail that said you owed $32 trillion and you didn't have it, you'd know you had a problem. Now, the GDP of the country is about $18 trillion, so we're talking about almost 2 years of GDP here that we're short just to pay what is being promised and hasn't been saved up for. We saw this problem coming for decades. I've been writing about it forever. And it's not just Social Security. The whole fiscal enterprise is not $32 trillion in the red. It's around $206 trillion in the red. That's a calculation that was just done by Alan Auerbach, who's an economist at Berkeley, and Bill Gale, who's an economist at Brookings. These are not particularly right-center people. These are left-of-center people, in terms of their political inclinations. So this is not a political matter, the country's insolvency. You did not hear this in the campaign from either Clinton or Trump, because both parties have been lying to us about the nature of our fiscal problem. They've been hiding either they don't understand it or they're ignoring what we economists have been writing. But there are economists who are, in the case of Clinton's vice president, Tim Kaine, he does understand that we have a fiscal gap in the country that's $206 trillion large, because he was a co-sponsor of a bill called the Inform Act. T-H-E-I-N-F-O-R-M-A-C-T, like as in inform somebody of something. And if you go to theinformact.org, you'll see Senator Ames' bill that he co-sponsored with Senator Thune from South Dakota. And the bill would require the CBO and other government agencies to report fiscal gap accounting, to do that accounting, and show the country that the country is actually totally broke right now. And then you have, President-elect Trump wanting to blow a huge hole in the, cutting taxes in the manner that he has in mind, and increasing infrastructure spending and other kinds of expenditures without any real understanding that you need more revenue and less spending into the future. No plans to fix Social Security, no plans that I can see to really fix health care. He wants to increase defense spending. We're going to see the government's in terrible shape already, fiscally speaking. The government's been printing money out the wazoo over the last 10 years or so, since 2007. We've printed something like $3 trillion, the Federal Reserve has, to pay Congress's bills. Now, the new chairman, Janet Yellen, has put an end to that money printing. So something has to give here. The reason we have crumbling infrastructure is the country's broke. The reason we're not funding NASA the way we used to, the country's broke. The reason we're not funding basic science research at NIH or the National Science Foundation is the country's broke. And you can hide it for a long time, but eventually the truth comes out. Just go visit Bernie Madoff in jail and ask him whether that statement's true, and you'll find out the answer, because we've been running a massive Ponzi scheme, keeping all these obligations off the books, and here we are.
Okay, well, you got my attention. So I saw a headline this morning, and maybe that's why politicians should consider transferring Social Security's legacy debt to the Treasury. What do you think about that idea?
Well, the question is, that's just shuffling the books around. Now, how the whole system, the whole country is $206 trillion in the red. If you put everything on the books, all the Social Security debt that's not covered by future Social Security taxes, all the obligations, health care obligations, it's not that moving some credit card bill from, switching credit card companies is not going to make you any better off, right? You could you could get a new credit card, pay off the old credit card. Now you got the same balance on the new credit card bill. It doesn't do anything. So you have to. I think if the real proposition is that we should be acknowledging the country's true fiscal position and put all the debts that are not on the books, then we get back to the fiscal gap. We put everything, including defense spending. This is not meant to sound like I'm opposed to these programs like Social Security or health, Medicare or Medicaid. On the contrary, I think we need to have a basic health plan for everybody, and we need to have we need to force people to save and have disability insurance and survivors' widows benefits and so forth. But you need to do it in a rational way. Now, if you go to my website, which is kotlikoff.net, you'll see a plan that I wrote. It's a book. It's about 100 pages that I wrote for President-elect Trump, unsolicited, because I was running against him in the 2016 election. I ran against him in this recent election as a
Dr. Kotlikoff, can we hold off in just a second, because we're coming to a break? This is very interesting. You ran against him. I'm interested in this story, so stay with us, folks. We've got Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff with us today. We're talking Social Security. Back in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Got with us today, Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff. Dr. Kotlikoff has written a great book that we encourage you all to get. It's called Get What's Yours: The Secrets of Maxing Out Your Social Security. For a lot of folks, Social Security is going to be a main resource for their retirement plan. In fact, I was just speaking to my cousin yesterday. I went to lunch with my cousin, and that is, other than his IRA rollover, that is his only source of income is Social Security. And it wasn't really designed that way, folks. I don't think it was designed to be a pension fund, but it is for a lot of people. So you need to know what your alternatives are. You need to know how to max it out. So go get what's yours, The Secrets of Maxing Out Your Social Security by Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff, Phil Moeller, and Paul Solman. Anyway, Dr. Kotlikoff, you know, you and Peggy were kind of chatting. Peggy, do you want to start off here? Because the two of you were just chatting away at
well, during the break. And for folks that are on Social Security, you know, I mean, there's some very serious questions, and so they probably want to know what kind of changes. We're going to have a change in Washington now. How, you know, that might be a trickle down effect, but there are some changes for 2017 that we can expect. And of course, I wanted to go over that with Dr. Kotlikoff. First of all, you know, for my 91-year-old mom, is she going to get a pay raise this year?
Well, there's a very small, like one-third of 1% increase in benefits associated with the cost of living adjustment, the COLA. But the Medicare Part B premiums have also increased, and they're deducted from the check. So she's likely to see no change whatsoever in the size of her check, because her trivially small COLA is going to be eaten up by the Medicare premium increases that she has to pay. So, you know, most people aren't going to be seeing increases in the Social Security checks for quite a while, given what's going on with Medicare. We need to get a lid on healthcare spending, and, you know, you see this in Obamacare, major premiums going up. We need a new healthcare system. So I was mentioning, I wrote this book at Kotlikoff.net. It's called You're Hired, Economic Playbook for President-elect Trump, or Trump playbook. It wasn't authorized by Trump, but I figured he needed to have some guidance as to how to fix the economy. Now, I don't think it's not likely that somebody like Steve Bannon, who's very racist and you know, just terrible guy that he's made his chief strategist, is going to go with any rational economic plan, because these guys, you know, I just am appalled by that move that he chose, that guy. But we do have not just this very small COLA in the new law under Social Security, but there's been a big increase in the ceiling, about 7% increase in the ceiling that you're going to be paying. So higher income people will be paying Social Security taxes. So the ceiling's going up from about $115,000 to about $127,000. So a lot of middle-class people are going to be facing something like an extra $1,000 tax from Social Security, which is a lot of money. Then we also have some increases in the earnings test, about a 7% increase in the amount that you can earn once you're getting benefits before you start losing them if you're under age 66, because that's when the earnings test applies. So there have been these changes, and the extra taxation that workers are going to face who are earning above $115,000 is going to be significant. So if you're making like $125,000, you're getting a pretty slammed with a very big tax hike under this for next year. And, you know, percent as a percent of your lifetime, of your disposable income, it's a big number. So that's the sad news of a system that was set up to run as a Ponzi scheme and not be able to have a fixed tax, you know, rate of taxation through time, and be totally underfunded as it has become over time. And nobody has any plans except me, it seems, to really fix it. The other thing I want to mention is that the new law that was passed in November of last year, which cut Social Security benefits when it comes to spousal benefits for younger baby boomers and people coming beyond, that's a significant change in the law. But for older people, people that were over 62 as of last January 1st or 2nd, they're partly or fully grandfathered. So the decision about what benefits to take one has become more complicated, and you need to have more expert, you know, the need for expert advice here is bigger than ever, and you really can't trust Social Security, the office, or the people on the telephone to give you the right answers. They are routinely, I'd say half the time, giving people the wrong answers. It was just a GAO, a General Accountability Office study demonstrating. They just went in there and they just sat there and watched the Social Security staff and wrote down their answers, and half the answers were wrong, basically, according to this study. I think it was half. They were, you know, very critical of the job that Social Security has been doing. So the best way to figure out what to do, we have a software program in my little software company called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It's $40, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. That and this book, which is called Get What's Yours, The Revised Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, those two things will let you figure out exactly what you need to ask for when you go see Social Security. You do not want to ask them any questions. You just want to tell them what to do. So
that's pretty frightening. That's pretty frightening to me, that there's the agency that you're calling because you need these answers on such a complicated subject, and yet
you don't want to ask them any questions at all, huh?
I'll give you an example. I mean, here there's a guy you just called the other day, 66. He's divorced after 16 years of marriage, he went in and asked just to collect a spousal benefit on his former spouse's work record. She's over 62, so he's able to do that. They've been divorced for more than 2 years. So he's met all the criteria for being able to get half of her full retirement benefit for 4 years between 66 and 70, and then take his own retirement benefit at 70, because that's what he read he could do in the book. And he ran our software at MaximizeMuscleStreet.com, and that's what the software said to do. And so he goes into the office, and they tell him, oh, no, you cannot collect this because your spouse isn't collecting yet. Now, this is like an elementary mistake. It has what one divorced person can do doesn't depend on whether the other, you know, getting a divorced spouse benefit does not depend on whether the other spouse is collecting if you've been divorced for more than 2 years and if your ex is over 62. So they had that wrong. He could potentially have lost $60,000 had he not. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Dr. Kolakoff, we're coming up against a break, so please stay with us. Folks, if you've got any questions for Dr. Kolakoff, you can always go to straighttalkmoney.com, send a question. Let us get the answers for you. Where you're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we're bringing you the wisdom of Wall Street and also the wisdom of Social Security. We'll be back after these important messages.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
I tell you what, Peggy's doing such a good job interviewing Dr. Kolakoff that I'm just kind of sitting back and listening. It's really a very interesting show. And Peggy, you want to talk to him first about how they can, because he's told us several different ways that they can communicate with him and get information. And
absolutely. And so for the software, go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It costs about $40 to do that. Dr. Kolakoff also writes for Forbes magazine. If you've got a question or for Forbes, you can go. He writes a column, and you can send in your questions, and he'll be glad to answer those. Or you can go to Kolakoff.net. Kolakoff.net.
Yeah. Hey, let me just make it a little bit clearer. Kolakoff.net is my kind of academic.
Oh, that's where your
that's the book for Trump is posted.
Okay.
But if you go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, that's where the software is. Also at the bottom, you can click on something called Ask Larry and post questions.
Good.
And see answers. And also at Forbes, you have to kind of go through their menu, click on investing, and then click on retirement. And then you see this Ask Larry column, and you get to see all the answers, the questions, and also the answers.
Okay, before the break, you were telling us, you know, a real life story about the 66-year-old man who was trying to get, I guess he was divorced and the spousal benefits. Now, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to collecting Social Security?
Well, the biggest mistake is that people are sure they're going to die early or die on time at the life expectancy. They have to think about Social Security as insurance, and when we buy insurance, we always worry about the catastrophic loss. For example, the house burns down, so we buy the maximum coverage. Here, you want to buy maximum coverage as well. And to do that, you really want to try and, for many cases, not all the cases, wait to collect a much higher number. So, for example, if you're single, if you take your retirement benefit at 70 versus 62, it will start at a 76% higher value. And that's adjusted for inflation. So every year between 70 and 100, if you make it to 100, you'll be opening up a check every month that's 76% higher. Now, most, you know, only 2% of people are actually waiting till 70 to collect their retirement, their Social Security benefit. So our software at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com shows you in one big number, look, here's your lifetime benefits if you do it your way. Here's your lifetime benefits if you do it our way. Guess what? We've just increased your lifetime benefits by, in some cases, you know, for if you're talking about a high-earning couple that's 62, if they do it the wrong way versus the right way, they could be giving up or getting an extra $350,000. So that's, you know, for the price of a $40 program, you can make $350,000 because you can see what the value of this insurance is. You have to really value the insurance. You have to, you know, we don't think we're going to make it beyond our life expectancy because we don't want to jinx ourselves into thinking that will happen, because if we start thinking about living to 100, we're sure we're going to die the next minute.
Right.
That seems to be, but the real problem is that dying is actually financially very good. Okay. The real problem is living. Dying is a financial blessing. Living is a financial risk. So we have to worry about the downside, which is living to 100 and living on cat food. And that's where Social Security comes in, because it's got a terrific rate of return embedded in there if you wait, if you're patient. And so for a lot of households, being patient is the right answer. For some, it's not the right answer. If you're, let's say, 62 and you've got a younger spouse and a disabled child, it may be best to take your benefit right away so you can get a disabled child benefit going for the child and a child in care spouse benefit activated for the wife. So mistake number one is that people are too impatient. They're not thinking about longevity, the right risk, the right way. Point number two is that they're not aware of all the benefits that are available, like child and care spousal benefits. How many people in this country have ever heard of those?
Mm-hmm.
Or parent benefits. I take care of my mom. She's 97. If I were to pass away, she could collect 82.5% of my full retirement benefit. My brother and sister, my brother's the provost of Cornell University. My sister's run major companies. They knew nothing about parent benefits. And were I to pass away, if they don't ask for those benefits, my mom wouldn't get any money. I mean, I'm the main financial provider at this point, but my brother and sister kick in as well. But I take my mom as a deduction on my tax return, so she could be qualified for a parent benefit. Well, if you don't know about it, you don't get it. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
So that's point number two. And then point number three is being strategic. Social Security is probably the most complicated institution ever devised by man. It's got hundreds of thousands of rules. They may go into the millions. They've got a program operating manual system with all these rules and sub-rules and sub-rules, and they're not numbered, so you can't tell how many rules there actually are. But so you need to have expert software provided by, you know, people you trust that you can rely on. And we've had lots of cases where people go to the Social Security office after having used our software, and the people at the office tell them, no, no, you can't get that benefit. And then, you know, back and forth, I've called Social Security offices, talked to people there. They get it fixed up, but they do not really know what they're doing. I mean, as a general statement. And the commissioner of Social Security, well, I'm sure she's going to be fired at this point because she's been appointed by the president, but President Obama, and we've got a new president who's Republican, but she's done a miserable job, as far as I can tell, in trying to get things sorted out in terms of all these mistakes. They were telling people just, I mean, when they passed the new law in last November, some people had 6 months to hit a critical deadline to do something.
Right, on the file and suspend, correct?
Yeah. And they,
we've got about 2 minutes, sir.
Okay, yeah. So they, there was a deadline for certain people that they had to file and suspend by that date, in order to get their spouse get a full spouse benefit on their work record when that spouse reached 66. So Social Security issued the wrong instructions. They weren't technically exactly wrong, but they were so misleading as to lead the entire 40,000 member staff to come up with the wrong view about how this thing was working. And all across the country, they were telling people the wrong thing. And I started writing about this in my different columns. And Social Security, ultimately, four people from Social Security called me on a conference call, and I said, you guys are telling people the wrong thing. And within the same afternoon, it was fixed. Now, for 2 months, there were 3 months, they were telling people the wrong thing. So that may have cost lots and lots of people thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. That's what's going on with our government right now.
Well, things to get a little confused. Maybe things to get better. And hopefully everybody will get the Social Security that they're due and we'll change the system so we can afford it. Dr. Kotlikoff, thank you so much for being with us today. We very much appreciate it.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.